This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Former Blackhawk Daniel Carcillo on Twitter at CarBombBoom13, who joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. What's up, Dan? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Why did this seem to touch such a nerve with you?
I don't like seeing good people getting hurt, basically. I stand up for injustice, and I just don't believe in this, you know. I don't believe in the timing of it. I think John McDonough tried to hide it behind the whole Uber scandal yesterday. That obviously didn't work. When you fire a Hall of Fame coach, I mean, it's going to make some noise. And I think there's been a lot of problems in that organization, and they don't start with the coach. It starts with the hockey ops. So
it seems like go ahead, Daniel.
No, it just rings false. You know, it doesn't make much sense. You know, why don't we look at, instead of the person directing the pawns, why don't we look at the person actually putting the pawns on the chessboard? You know,
it seems as though the tension between Quenneville and that front office is something that's been around for a little while. Whether reading you or Sopel on Twitter or any guys, it feels like that was something that felt real. How, in what way did you feel it while you were playing?
Well, there was just a disconnect, and not so much a disconnect, just a dislike, I think, of people in the front office and of the coaching staff. Even when Mike Kitchen was there, no different. I don't know what exactly transpired to create that type of environment. Obviously it worked for a little while, but I think when you have that amount of tension, something's going to crack. And when there's a crack, if you keep applying the tension, then something breaks. And you know, I think the people in the higher up in the executive positions have the power to say yay or nay, and you got to play along like a good little boy. And if you don't, then they change the narrative, right? And, you know, I don't think it's all bad. It's maybe they want a fresh start. I don't like the way it happened. I don't like when they announced it and trying to slide it under that whole Ottawa Senators Uber incident yesterday and trying to announce it today early in the morning. I don't like it. You know, it's it feels wrong. And, Q helped me a lot, like not only on the ice, but as a man. You know, he helped me grow through a really, really tough time in my life. And I don't like seeing people like that get, you know, taken advantage of and thrown to the wayside. So that's why I kind of said something. And I think people need to understand that, you know, first and foremost, he was a really, really awesome man, you know. And then you can talk about the intensity and the passion he had for his players and the passion he had for coaching and even playing the game. You know, that goes without saying. So.
I'm trying to figure out the Barry Smith piece of this, because I think
Scotty Bowman's best friend.
Okay.
That's how you figure it out.
Well, that's what I mean.
Scotty Bowman's best friend.
You were around.
I mean, it's an old boys club. So.
And you were around when they tried this before. Remember when Barry Smith was on the ice for a practice, and per reports, Q went back and said, "You get him off the ice or I am out of here." And at that point, he held enough sway for them to get Barry Smith back into the shadows, so to speak. But you've seen it. Is this as clear as what this is, that Barry Smith is there as a Bowman representative?
Yeah, I mean, so it's the NHL is run by the old boys club. Right, you guys have to understand that. When I got to Arizona my first year, Wayne Gretzky was the head coach, Ulf Samuelson was the assistant coach, and Grant Fuhr was on the bench as well. Barry Smith was right there next to all of those guys, right? He was very close to Arizona, but still also, you know, really, really close with Scotty Bowman. obviously we know who the GM is of the organization and we know who's running it. And I think when you put a first-time NHL coach, he's 33 years old. I played against Jeremy Colton and with him. I wish him nothing but the best, but I think with that move, they're trying to provide him with some sort of guidance from a veteran presence. But, I mean, it just – it doesn't feel right. It really doesn't, you know. But, like I said, I'm not employed by them, and I'm just – this is just in my own opinion, you know, and what I've seen and what I've felt, you know, with when I served my time there, so –
Daniel, you asked on Twitter a little while ago that those who knew Quenneville shared their favorite story about him after the day he's removed as head coach of the Blackhawks. I wonder if you'd share yours.
I already cried this morning. You want me to cry again?
Well, I don't mean, no, I don't want to make you do that again. No, I just if it's another one, I understand that too.
I would love to share it. So yeah, February 15th. I'm basically getting ready. There's a room off of the dressing room where you kind of put your gitch on or your underwear, mm-hmm. so to speak. I just came in from warming up. My phone was buzzing off the hook, like once, twice. I ignored it about three times, and then you know the fourth or fifth time I picked it up, which I never ever do. I never check my phone before games, and it was a friend just basically hysterically crying, saying, "Steve's gone. Steve's gone. Steve's dead." And I was kind of in shock. It kind of registered, but it didn't because I had to get ready and prepare for a game. And I prepared for a game, for hockey games, like it was life and death, right? Because the job that I was doing, you can die from it. And my friend had just passed away. I went in the room, tried to put my head down, get ready. I was the type of guy that was rah-rah, joking around, playing great music, not according to Christopher Stieg, but according to me, it was pretty good music. And I looked over beside Brent Seabrook and saw Steve Staal, like where he used to sit, and just broke down and tried to bury my head while I was tying my skates. And I think I walked back into the room. Johnny kind of noticed. He came in. I told him what happened. We hugged and went back, got my stuff back on, tried to get through the game. I was trying to mentally build myself up mentally, spiritually to try and get through this hockey game. And I looked at one of the trainers on the bench, I think 3 minutes into warm-up, as I was doing my like half laps in between the red and blue that I always used to do, and I just broke down again, crying uncontrollably on the ice. And I just got right off the ice, walked right down the tunnel, basically ran and walked into Q's office, and you know, he was there. I was crying. He was crying. He just heard about it. We hugged and it was hard, man. It was, I couldn't play, you know. I honestly didn't want to play anymore after that. Spiritually, mentally, physically, I was just done. And he helped me through that time, you know. Throughout Steve's whole process, his year and a half in retirement, in transition, looking, searching for what he was, who he was, what he was going to do next, and knowing how this organization treated him, both treatment-wise and as a human being, it's really, really disheartening. And to know that Q was there, and he still is, you know, he's always says, text me, call me if you ever need anything. He's just a man's man, and no bullshit, and yeah, you know, I'll be forever grateful for that, you know, so yeah, it's my favorite, even though it's an emotional story, it's definitely my favorite Joel Quenneville story, for sure.
We're talking with former Blackhawk Daniel Carcillo as he opens up about his relationship with Joel Quenneville and talking about his late friend and teammate Steve Montador here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. You mentioned Seabrook. You mentioned Jonathan Toews. What do you think the reaction is to this among some of these veteran former teammates of yours who may not really know playing for another NHL coach at this point? Some may have a little bit of experience with Dennis Savard, but this was their guy. This becomes a new world now, a new locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of those guys are going to be pretty upset. They really loved Q. But on the flip side, you know, being a coach for that long under a core group of players, to get a new narrative in is never it's never a bad thing to get fresh energy and young energy. And you know, Seabrook, Duncan, Johnny, Kaner, I mean, the guys that they have in that room, the core guys, they know what to do. They know what to say. They know how to rally the young guys. They know how to accept things and then move forward, you know. I wish Q nothing but the best. You know, if he hears this, and I'm going to reach out and text him. But yeah, it's hopefully, you know, this organization finds what they're looking for. I don't know what that is, but, you know, hopefully they find it in a new coach.
It sounds like you understand the idea behind the Blackhawks deciding to move in a different direction, but it's the procedure, it's the way it went down that troubles you more than the fact that it did. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, you know, trying to hide it behind that Uber Ottawa Senators incident is disgraceful, but that's John McDonough for you, you know? That's Al McIsaac for you, you know? I mean, you got a guy in the front office who retired his own jersey in the East Coast League. I mean, it's weird, you know, and they do things that aren't the norm. And I don't think this is the norm, you know? But coaches get fired all the time. You know, I think what you need to do now is just kind of honor Hugh for what he was, just making sure that people know how good of a human being he was. Like, telling that story isn't ideal, but that's the first thing that comes to mind. And that's like I want people to understand that there are good people in the hockey world, you know, and he's definitely one of them. So,
Daniel,
appreciate it.
We really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks.
No problem, guys.
That's Daniel Carcillo, the former Blackhawk.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.